All right, we're back. Thanks for tuning in. Terrorism update with Mubin Dabam Sheikh. He's an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative. He's the author of Undercover Jihadi, and he likes to give us the truth. So welcome, Dabam, on the Drew Marshall Show. Dude, what the heck happened in Mississauga, and does that have anything to do with your world? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what everybody thinks, right? And first of all, Drew, I mean, thanks for having me. I love that broadcasting even after the rapture. good one. no, you know, it's what everyone thinks. You know, look at in Toronto, a ramming attack happened. Everyone think, okay, ISIS. Turns out to be a loser who couldn't get a girl, right? I mean, it just comes out of left field in that sense. And you just don't know what's going on. You know, we look often in the U.S., of course, every other hour there's a school shooting. You know, I don't mean to make light of it, but it's just in a place where only that happens. You know, for us to have this bombing in an Indian restaurant, that's very odd. So at present, no ISIS links. There's so many different ways to look at it. You know, it's an Indian restaurant owned by Sikhs that were serving halal food for the Muslims who were eating at night because of Ramadan, the fasting month. So, you know, there's so many ways to look at it. Was it, you know, the description was light skin, fair skin. You know, what does that mean? I mean, was that white? You know, white is different, I guess, from light and fair skin, which, you know, might indicate some ethnic background. You could kind of. But the fact that they covered themselves up very well, they waited for the bomb to detonate in the place and then took off, shows a level of sophistication that you don't see with ISIS types.
Really? That's sophistication? Hold on. I didn't hear that right. Tim, did I just hear Mubin say they set off the bomb and then left the building, and that's called sophistication?
Yeah, that's what you heard. That's why he's here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's like to sit there and wait for the bomb to explode and you not being a part of that explosion, that's not their M.O.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. So what you're saying is the way the ISIS folks do it is they blow themselves up.
They either blow themselves up or they'll, you know, detonate an explosive at a location, but they're not going to be at the location unless they are the bomb, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no pun intended.
No, that's right.
It's a coping mechanism, okay? The dark humor is a coping mechanism.
I know. And you just laughed like Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, so that was good. Well done.
Well, all I got to say is silence!
Silence! okay, so what country would you travel in and feel the least safe right now?
Oh, boy. I mean, you know, I have no fear, bro. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's talk about Tim, because you know how Tim is. So, and look, I'm getting at this point. It seems like France has the most amount of insane terrorist-type things going down on a regular basis, as far as westernized countries are concerned.
Sure.
You okay with that?
Sure. Yep. In fact, you could probably add to that the Dutch.
Oh, yeah.
And I would then say, okay, because the French and Dutch have a pretty, you know, interesting colonial history related to North Africans, or in the case of at least the Dutch, even to Indonesia, whatnot. So there is still this retaliation type narrative, right? So if you see the Algerians in France, many of the core Al-Qaeda groups are Algerians, Libyans, right? And so that's not an accident, right? And then you see the next is Britain, right? And so Britain, because of its involvement in various Middle Eastern projects, we'll call them, you know, that's created something. The U.S., obviously, with what it's been doing for a little while. So you can read those numbers that way.
Okay. All right. On the line with Mubin Sheikh, he is an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative. What I want to know is, what is the most secretive place you've ever been? And I know you can't tell me,
well,
but
I
give me,
I
know, but give me some, cause I mean, you've addressed
I'm
the,
not to kill you, man, and I like you, you know,
you've been in some whack places, man. You really have.
Yes, I have. I'll say Syrian, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. I mean, that other one I won't say.
Okay. Do you, since you're going to chicken out on that one,
Pakistan,
I know that
border region.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. I know that, the whole ISIS returnee stuff is in the news a lot these days. Should the rest of us schmoes care?
You should only care in that, you know, the obvious, you know, feeling of like WTF, like what do you mean there's a returnee here? There's a very technical legal issue. You know, this is the problem that these guys have gone over. They've done shit over, stuff over there, or not, right? Claiming that they did. How do you prove this in a court of law, right? Mm-hmm. Thousands of kilometers away, an alleged crime that he confessed to 2 years ago. We're not going to send the RCMP into Syria to collect DNA evidence down there. So it's frustrating, but now you realize, what the hell? So, like, we can't prosecute them for crimes that they've admitted doing? And that's a terrible, terrible situation. Like, I feel, because, you know, even though I talk about, and I've been counseling this guy personally, like the guy that we're hearing about, for like a year and a half, okay? And at the end of the day, you know, it's like, what do you do when you can't convict them in a court? You should probably have, as I refer to it, eyes and ears on the guy, right? So, yeah, some level of counseling, unfortunately, is the only way that we're really going to be able to deal with these guys, control their movements, make sure, you know, we know what's going on. But rest assured, I mean, the government knows who these people are. I just came from a conference just 3 days ago, literally, Quebec City. CSIS, you know, other professors, academics, blah, blah, blah. You know, that the government knows where these guys are, you know, and has a plan in place for them. There's really no need to panic in any sense.
Mubin, I want to bring in Tim the Tool. Tim?
Yeah, Mubin, I don't mean to equate this to a drug problem, but I know in some countries, instead of making it a crime, they're turning the funds that would be used for incarceration to rehabilitation. In this situation, is it incarceration versus rehabilitation? Will it help?
I think, you know, the bigger question is actually rehabilitation as part of our regular incarceration system, right? Currently, there aren't. Why are we talking about getting specialist counseling for extremists and just regular people who are in prison don't have that kind of psychosocial counseling? So I would actually make the argument what we're seeing now is the attempt to put him into that kind of rehabilitation program, regardless of if there's a conviction or not. And that's the point, right? So that even if we can't, we'll still put him in a program. Even if we do convict, we'll put him in a program. But then I'm asking the question, well, why is he the only one being put in a program when we should be doing this kind of psychosocial counseling for everybody across the board?
And doesn't it just feed into the problem that, you know, we're putting these extremists into prison and we're just feeding the whole idea of fear and scare and, you know, we're not helping them at all?
Well, you know, like, I'm two minds, right? On one hand, they have to be punished for what they've done. I mean, they're, you know, victims need their justice. And, you know, we as Canadians who, this guy's fled back to our country and now victims feel that, what the hell, like you, Canada, you're letting these people live there and just be like that. Same situation in Germany. You have not just, you know, not just the immigrant issue, but ex-Assad regime members. I mean, like Hezbollah, like all kinds of people now who are like in your country and, you know, at some point could be a security risk. So I know it's really bad on one side. But on the other hand, now that we have him in our hands and we're dealing with him, you know, what do we do with that? And so it's got to be a balance, obviously, between, you know, punishment and, of course, some kind of rehabilitation.
Okay, we're chatting with Mubin Sheikh. It's our terrorism update. We do this every once in a while on the show. Mubin, I mean, you said something earlier we just kind of glazed over. We got to get back to you. You're counseling this ISIS returnee that's in the news? You're hanging out with him? You're playing checkers?
Yeah.
and giving him guidance and stuff? What do you do? Like, what?
Yes, I'm the guy who facilitated his interview with the CBC. He is the guy that was given to me by Rukmini Kalimaki, New York Times journalist, who's doing this amazing podcast called Caliphate, in which this guy appears. So he's the guy that I've been dealing with this whole time. I think we talked about this once at a previous show or something.
Yeah, but that would require so that I listen.
No, what's happened, you know, I've actually had to draw a line with him after the revelations, if you will, from the podcast. I immediately let him know that he should probably have a lawyer. What he did, in fact, is he's cooperating with the RCMP. So I'm not going to interfere with that, and I'll just leave them to now deal with him.
Okay, final question for Mubin Sheikh. Where do you think the temperature is at with regards to Islamophobia in our neck of the woods these days in Canada?
You know, it's Muslim hate is rising everywhere. I mean, it's the result of Al-Qaeda and ISIS doing their bombings and doing them wearing beards and robes that Muslims wear. Okay, so that's the core cause of Muslim hate, all right? Terrorists. Number two, you then have anti-Muslims who play into the jihadist narrative that, yes, Muslims are all about terrorists. They're all terrorists, they're all ISIS, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that is catching on everywhere else. I think it's a natural reaction that, you know, societies are being radicalized because of Muslim terrorism. In Canada, you know what I mean, it's there. It's not so much, I mean, of course, but you are seeing a rise of it with these so-called patriot militia groups, those with crossover into American groups like Three Percenters, like individual, like police, even soldiers, you know, people who are experienced who can do stuff. So it is on the rise. It's commensurate with what we're seeing in the U.S. and in Europe. So, you know, that's where we are. Canada, again, it's not so bad, and we try to make it a point that we should obviously not be like that, but it's, you know, it's not as bad as, you know, the ISIS threat.
Okay. All right. Listen, I still, you know, I've said this for a few years now, a couple of years. I think you've been doing the show. Dude, we got to get you.
Checks in the mail?
We got checks in the mail. No, I was going to say, I told you, I want you and the fam to come up my neck of the woods, and we'll walk you in the country you know, go check out some nature and hang out, man. We got to hang out, okay?
You're inviting me and my family to a walk in the forest, a walk in the woods with you and what?
And Tucker the Wonder
Man. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely.
Okay.
And
God
bless.
Hold on. Let's change that. Yeah. I want to come to a mosque with you. Can we arrange that?
You want to come to the training camp?
No, yeah, I do want to come to the training camp as well. Anyway, we'll touch base soon. We gotta fly here.
Absolutely.
Mubin, good to talk to you, dude. Good to chat.
Cheers, brother.
All right, bye-bye. Bye. Mubin Sheikh on the Drew Marshall Show.